Hi, my name is Jeff Pagano, and welcome to the Harpen and Rugby Preview Show. And joining me to look ahead to Leinster's match at the weekend is someone making his 82nd pod appearance. Welcome back to Mr. Neil Keogh Keegan.
How are we? Summer is finally here. So, yes, good to talk to you.
It's great to see. And, well, there was a whole lot of news over the past few days. But first up, what did you make of Croke Park last weekend?
Absolutely loved it. And fair play to Leinster. Fair play to the EPR, CXYZ, whoever organises the thing. Don't mention Heineken, it's Investec now. But the great day, great organization. I was sitting or standing on the hill. So I got flashbacks to the old days when the old man would bring me to Lansdowne Road, put his pint on the railing. I'd sit underneath it and I would have Guinness dripped on me for 80 minutes. That didn't happen now in Croke Park, but atmosphere was, I'd say we got 35, 36 minutes of atmosphere. And then all the walking that we had to do to get to the hill started taking our energy out of us, and we couldn't. We're obviously not allowed to bring our drinks to the seats, which made us stay still. But no, it was a great day out.
Yeah, and as for the match,
look, a win's a win. No one's good. You know, we'll sit here in a year's time, and we won't remember what happened. First half, I thought this is amazing. This is great stuff. This is exactly what we need. Everything is working. Everyone is working, and then you could see kind of 58, 60 minutes in, the lads just started losing a bit of energy. They were kind of half a step off and Northampton spotted it. Fair play to them. But like, there's no way those teams are that close. Like, you know, if we're being honest, Leinster are miles ahead of them. So if that's a mistake we can't make between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it was just old-fashioned kind of cup rugby towards the end. And we looked a lot more comfortable earlier on, but I think we got reminded that this wasn't a September URC match. It was a proper Champions Cup semi-final against the Premiership leaders towards the end. So, but we came out on top anyway. And we had a lot of news during the week. I mean, wouldn't even know where to begin with the daily announcements and all this kind of stuff. What have you made of all this?
Yeah, it's all great business. It's also a little bit of, with the kind of reaction to the central contracts, it's a little bit of a thumbing your nose at everybody else as well, being so public with all of this stuff. But again, there's very few contracts that have been handed out that you could turn around and bicker with, be against. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Healy gets one this morning, which is great. I don't know. I didn't open it. I don't know if it's 1 year, 2 years, whatever it is. But like, beyond deserving, all the players, they're either investments in the future and votes of confidence for those players, or they are senior players who deserve their re-ups. So, yeah, it's like, I my worry was, though, during the week on their Instagram, Leinster Instagram, they had a picture of someone who looked like Ardie Sevilla. And I was going, are we going to do it? Are we going to blow up rugby Twitter? But we didn't, or we haven't yet.
Yeah, there's still time to come. Anything can happen. Now, I mean, the thing is that they used to have all the announcements on the one day, and it'd be one big release. So it's basically the same news, just different packaging. And there's people saying, "Oh, Leinster are getting everything. Leinster are getting more this, that, and the other." It's the same announcements as we would have done. And it's not like there's been no players leaving. There are a few announcements. A couple of players going to Connacht. We've few announcements this way and that, and of course, there's people like Ala Otoa leaving, Charlie Natai is going, Jason Jenkins. So a lot of the players are coming in to replace them. So it's not just all going in one direction. But I think it's a new social media policy, obviously, from Leinster. And like, you know, it's kept the midweek kind of interesting. They put yeah. They put out these little teases and you're trying to work out who it was. Like they did one for church today. It's all good. It's all part of the what we want to do every week. It's getting from one match to the next. You know, filling out those days. We're in work. We're taking a peek at our phones, checking to see what the latest news is, and they're helping with all that. So fair play.
No, absolutely. And the funny thing is, it's starting to get this kind of conspiracy theory. Someone put up that they were doing them in alphabetical order. All this sort of stuff, and it's great. Look, I get that it's usually done in one day, one post, and you kind of spread it out. That's what everyone on Instagram does for the clicks and the views. I just love reading the reaction to it from everybody else. It's hilarious.
Absolutely. Okay, so listen, now it's time to look at our feature match of the week, which is, of course, Leinster v Ospreys in round 16 of the 2023-24 BKT United Rugby Championship. It's taking place at the RDS Arena on Saturday, May 11th, kicking off at 7:35 p.m. TV coverage in Ireland is on TG Cahir, Premier Sports One, and URC.TV. As ever, you'll find all the full listings for the weekend over at harpingonrugby.com. Just click the Rugby on TV tab. Leinster named their match day 23 at lunchtime on Friday. If you're watching on YouTube, it should be right there in the screen, or for pod listeners, it's in the program notes. So Kigo's picked out a few points from this selection, starting from, well, it's a pretty strong one, isn't it?
It is. We need to get the guys bruised up. I get that it was a difficult run-in, similar to what La Rochelle had in the quarterfinal, where the guys were away in South Africa. And then there was a group of, or two groups of players at this stage here working together. And I think you could tell the disconnect in that second half in Croker. So I think we need to get the guys bruised up, get the energy levels up, find out, get them back into getting that second win, third win, fourth win in the game between now and now in the final in May. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 weeks time?
Two weeks after this.
Yeah, so like we need everyone kind of bruised up, calloused up, angry. We need that La Rochelle performance plus 10%. So I think, I think it is a great thing. It's a really strong squad that they picked. Worried about Ringrose still not being there. But you look at what Jamie Osborne has done. I think he's playing 13 tomorrow. Yeah,
they sort of switched them over. So, yeah.
So I think that's almost them saying, okay, Ringrose, we don't know. Mm-hmm. So, and we know that I prefer Henshaw at 12. So if that's what they're doing, that's what they're going to do for the rest of the season. But it's a very strong squad. Furlong is back rocking and rolling, which is great to see. But it's as many frontliners as we can get on that pitch right now. And that's what we need.
Yeah, we were talking about it after the wrap pod from the weekend. I mean, it's like, what do we do? I mean, the maximum is if we get through all the stages, there'd be seven matches left in the season. So what do we do? Do we just go full bore as much as we can and put the best possible team out week to week? Or do we, bring out a lot of cotton wool? And it looks like we've headed towards that first option, which is, it's not something we've done every year up to now. We certainly didn't do it ahead of the Champions Cup final last year. And it's interesting to see, and it'll keep games, games in their legs, like you say. And I was surprised. I mean, if they're going to put players in cotton wool, I thought maybe Gibson Park, but even he's looks like he's going to get some minutes on Saturday evening. So there's some interesting selections there for sure. Now, your second point is about the subs and the second row.
Yeah, so in years gone by, Leinster have had a full 23. It's a team as opposed to a squad. Like any variation of that 23 can take the pitch to start. And you kind of noticed it, and I understand energy levels were a different thing last weekend, and maybe the pressure of the occasion, all that sort of stuff. But the subs didn't make the impact that they normally do. I know Conan comes on and he's Conan. Healy comes on and he's Healy. But there was quite a gap between kind of the rest of them and the starting guys. So I think other teams would have watched that and said, okay, we know Gibson Park is a universe unto himself. I think that's why Luke McGrath is going to get minutes in this week. But we know that when the subs come on, there might be a little bit of a gap in terms of everything. And we were missing James Ryan massively, especially when he wasn't getting picked consistently, he was angry. And when he's angry, mixed with that skill that he has and the brain that he has, he was just on his way to surpassing the form he had a couple of years ago. So we are missing him right in the middle. And I do think the second row is, I know Jenkins did some great work in the scrum last weekend when he came on, but I do feel things like the line out is where teams are going to go after us because of that relative, I've got to use the right word here because everyone is brilliant, but the relative difference in our second rows. Obviously back row, there's a million of them, and even Baird can move up, but I think that's a slight problem, the subs in the second row.
Yeah, it's interesting. They've gone for Conan 19 and Van der Flier 20. So there's no kind of recognized second row. I'm thinking probably Ryan Baird might go into the second row if we bring them on. But like you say, nothing recognized. And speaking of second rows, on this Saturday just happens to be Ross Maloney's 30th birthday. So with him going off to Bath and everything, and this, you know, it's coming to the end of the season, this might be a good time. Leinster fans give him a good send off. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, and definitely some interesting selections. And your third point is about Tadhg Furlong.
Yeah, it was great to see. It was so great to see the director picked it up in Croker, where he was hitting rooks, clearing people out. It was oh, and offloading like the old times. And again, that sounds really harsh. Injuries and all the off the field stuff does take it out of you, but he really, really felt like he was back to his best and even surpassing his best with some of those offloads. So I think we were talking about cotton wool there a couple of seconds ago. He's a player that we want to rip all that cotton wool off and just let him rip, because he's very, very durable. I think it was just a freak injury that he had in one of his legs or whatever it was. But we need him playing. We need Porter playing. We need Sheehan playing. We need all these players playing. No cotton wool, but it was fantastic. So obviously seeing Gibson Park and Lowe doing their thing, but watching Furlong marshal the middle of that pitch, he stopped everyone that went anywhere near him. It was fantastic to see.
Yeah, that was an amazing offload he did. It was the build-up to James Lowe's hat-trick try in the second half, and he just he was had two guys hauling him down, but on his way down he managed to just do a little offload that kept the move going, and then we had Baird on the rampage, and it was that was an amazing sequence there. All right, and he's definitely getting back to his best, like you say. Okay, so now it's time to have a quick look at the Ospreys lineup. They currently sit 10th in the URC, so they're still very much in the playoff picture. They lost heavily last time out against the Bulls, but before that they managed wins against both the Stormers and the Lions, something we couldn't do. So Kigo, how do you see them shaping up?
Yeah, they're looking good, and like it's usually, you know, there's a difference in records and all that sort of stuff, but we've the exact same last five games. I do feel now with the way the season is going for Leinster, we're not steamrolling by 50 points anymore. We are working our way through different situations, and I do think other teams fancy shots, starting with the Ulster game around Christmas time. You could see Northampton trying to do pieces of that last weekend. I think Ospreys have a good bit of speed in them to kind of try and do that, try and find that space in behind that kind of Ninaber defence. And I do think they will fancy it. I do think they've got a big second row. And I do think that's going to be a massive battle.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously this is I always call this is the league's first, when going back to the old Celtic League, it was the first organic kind of rivalry between teams from different countries. We had those from the beginning of the 2010, 2012 finals. I used to call them those pesky birds. They would always come good right at the end of the season. And of course, things not going so great for the regions now, but you know, Ospreys have dug out some really good results this season. So it's not, you know, we definitely can't rule them out. They're not going to come just to lay down, and we're definitely going to stay on top for sure. Okay, so now a quick look at the officials. As you can see there, Sam Grove-White from Scotland is holding the whistle with Irish assistance and TMO. The weather for Dublin 4 on Saturday evening, it looks like it's going to kind of behave. Just 25% chance of rain, maybe a bit cloudy, but hopefully the weather will hold out for us. Elsewhere in the URC, we're going to have Ulster is really going to need full points from their trip to Caenetha, but there's also the return of the Interpros with Munster hosting Connacht.
Absolutely, in Munster as well. So, like, you know, it's our second team versus our fourth team in Limerick. So it's going to be a great one. It's going to be full. It's going to be loud. And again, the pressure is all on the home team, and that's not just me saying it to start an argument with people. The pressure is there because they're close to the qualification and moving forward. I think Connacht kind of shot themselves in the foot early on, and they're trying to build that momentum back. So, you know, but again, I haven't seen the squads yet, but if everyone is fit on the green side, they have a shot.
Yep, they are. But Munster have gone strong as well. And I actually read somewhere that this is actually R.G. Snyman's first start at Thomond Park, which is amazing, considering that the next time he gets a start at Thomond Park, he'll probably be wearing blue. So there you go. So, no, that's going to be an interesting one for sure. Okay, so now it's ahead on the block time, Kigo. What are the numbers telling you? How do you see this one panning out?
Now, obviously, as we say every week, no one listens to me in this portion of the podcast because I've gotten everything wrong. I think it's going to be closer than I would like. I think there's going to be a little bit of a, if we start well, it's a big score. If we don't start well and they start finding parity at different parts of the pitch, it's going to be tough. So I think it's either going to be like a one score game or a 10 score game. I think that's where, that's the difference. I think there was a couple of worrying signs last week. I know the competition is different and blah, blah, blah. But I think there's a little bit of work to be done between the ears. And if we can do that early, then it's a big score.
Okay, so Leinster win one way or the other anyway. So
Yeah.
that's that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Listen, we're gonna leave it there, man. Many thanks for joining us again. Now, what stand-up gigs do you have lined up down the road?
Absolutely perfect. So next week we are in, I'm going to beautiful Kells, County Meath next week. That's in Meath, isn't it? Ordinary level geography. And then we're in the run up to the big show in the Mill Theatre in August. So all these bits and pieces will be creeping up on KegoLabs.com.
Brilliant stuff. You'll find all those links in the program notes. Well, cheers, man. Have a great weekend. Hope to see you soon.
Absolutely. Summer is here.
Indeed. Okay, so listen, many thanks to y'all for checking out our latest preview show. And if you can also tune in to Dublin South 93.9 FM around 5 p.m. on Friday for our Harp and Rugby segment, then be sure to enjoy the match wherever you are. You can follow us on all the usual social media channels. We will, of course, have a wrap pod for you this week, recording on Sunday evening. So hopefully you'll help us out by liking, sharing, and subscribing. In the meantime, stay safe, everyone. Slán.